Welcome to Conversations with the Wise, insights and practices for difficult times. My name is James Barras, founder and teacher of the Awakening Joy course at awakeningjoy.info. If you're having trouble staying clear and positive in these crazy times, you're not alone. I'm asking some of today's most beloved wisdom teachers to share their insights and practices to help us most skillfully respond to the fear and divisiveness in our world today. For more information on this series and to see videos of these conversations, visit awakeningjoy.info and click on Conversations with the Wise. And now here's our conversation. I hope you enjoy it. Well, here I am with one of my favorite people in the world, Tara Brach, a favorite person to many, and a wonderful teacher in DC area and author of Radical Acceptance, True Refuge, and other books to come, who does just amazing things in the world and that I love dearly. So that's on a personal note. So hi, Tara.
Hey, James, and thank you for doing, I think this is very cool what you're doing.
Mm. Oh, good. Well, it's my good karma to know really amazing people, and you're right up there on the list. Mm. So as I explained to you, I'm doing these conversations, asking the wisest people I know just how they're getting through these crazy times, both with keeping their own sanity and how they use their own practice to have the wisest response, both intrapersonally and to share with others, because I think others will be really interested to see how to hold things. It's so crazy, and we don't have to go into all the different ways it is. I think it's fairly obvious, but just want to ask you first, in the generic way, how does your practice help you navigate and stay sane when you pick up the news or go online every day and your jaw drops? What's your basic approach that that helps?
First, the day-to-day experience for me is that I get pulled around in a real emotional way right now. I mean, I feel like I'm thin-skinned, and pretty much every day on some level, I feel disturbed and upset and sometimes grieving and sometimes angry and sometimes fearful. So all the different emotions are moving through. And so my practice lets me be real about that. Mm. Lets me just be honest that this is what's happening, and helps me not to get lost in too much proliferation of thoughts. So one of the basic things I've found is that I have to be careful how much news I take in, because it's not healthy. It's an addiction, I find, to be, you know, fixated on taking in too much. So I have to limit how much I take in. And the biggest single thing is to not get caught in a sense of a bad other.
Say more.
There's so much of there's so much harm going on. So many people that it's very easy to fixate on certain players, you know, certain political figures, and feel aversion and hate and anger directed at their personhood. And to almost get into smarmy remarks and so on. And it feels like that's responding to a limbic play of energy in the culture with more limbic reaction. Mm-hmm. So it feels really important to get out of this trance of that there's bad guys out there and just see it as there's unprocessed fear and anger that's playing out it's playing through some bodies that are more wounded than other bodies or whatever, but not to make the person bad. And so I have a practice that I do when I feel caught in othering, and I get caught every day in it. I mean, every day I read and I filter with having somebody as a bad guy, is when I have the time, I pause and I sense what's going on in my body and my heart. And usually underneath the anger and the aversion, there's fear about what's happening. And underneath the fear, there's caring. And if I can get down to the caring, then I can sense really, as it's just a play of woundedness that's on a cultural level, and it's not a bad person. And I try to teach that too. I mean, I think that it's really important that we get out of the idea of an other that's in some way evil or wrong or bad.
I have a very similar attitude in my better moments, where it's not so much that that person is evil. It's just, in the Buddhist sense, ignorance, just not seeing clearly how suffering is created. And in the metta practice, in the loving kindness practice, that one of the categories is the difficult one. And sometimes people say, how could you wish that one to be happy too? And I say, well, if I'm wishing for them to discover true happiness, then they're not going to hurt other people. So I can just wish that and hope that they, somewhere along the line, if not this lifetime, then future lifetimes, wake up to see things more clearly.
I'm with you. I think of it like when I have a political leader in my mind as bad, and I feel aversion, I'm in a trance in those moments. Like, I'm not seeing the truth of a being. I'm seeing through a very narrow filter. So I actually do a practice of really trying to sense the woundedness there that's behind the anger and the blustering and the greed and everything else that I'm having an aversion to. And I feel like we need to train ourselves to see past the mask. It's just to wake up out of that trance and just see, whether we're imagining the person as a child or, you know, the different ways that they've been wounded, in some way widen the way we're looking at things. So we're not just playing into the same reactive zone that is really in the media right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let me ask you, in those, in your better moments where you can hold it that way, how do you, when you get activated and or outraged and frustrated, how do you go from that triggered state to a more spacious perspective that lets you see what you're saying in that way?
Sometimes I have a couple of trusted people that I can off-gas with, and I can say all the non-PC things in the world. And so it's just out there, and there's a big frame around it saying, we know this is just, you know, and so sometimes I just need to, like, you know, fume. But I also need to then keep on going and name that as what that was and say, okay, so what is really behind all that? And then it's the unlayering I named before. In other words, if I can allow myself to feel all the agitation and sometimes say it out loud, then I can get into the place that really is scared for our world. And then I can get under that to the caring.
Mm-hmm. So I'm sorry.
Yeah, no. That's it.
Any particular techniques, suppose if somebody was saying, you know, Tara, I just, it's hard for me to access that. Any particular practices that you could suggest to somebody when they throw their hands up and say, I can't believe it, to, you know, on a practical level that they can do?
Yeah, in terms of the Buddhist practices, you know, one of them is basic mindfulness, just to start naming what we're feeling and naming the unpleasantness of it, mm-hmm. and then bringing really a lot of compassion and putting my hand on my heart, if you can't see it right now, just bringing a lot of kindness to what's being triggered off with, you know, hand on the heart saying, this is really hard. And we're really bringing our kindness to the world that's suffering, to mm-hmm. sense that we're, the world's in our hearts, and we're saying, oh, I'm so sorry it's like this right now. So that's one piece of it. The other piece is, I think we need to be active, you know? And it's like times that are disturbing and there's a lot of suffering, we need to act and act together. I find that when I'm talking to people that care, and there's something we're doing, it's not like I can act on a lot of different levels and do a lot of different things, but in some way feel like we're serving the good and doing it together. Because that togetherness, as soon as I feel like I'm not alone in it, mm-hmm. like we're not all in our own little compartments hearing bad news about the world, but we're caring together and acting together, then there's a sense of, we don't know what's how things are going to work, and we can't know, but we feel a sense of alignment with our hearts and a sense of belonging, because we're in some way taking the next step towards healing. Mm-hmm. And that feels really important.
Yeah, two things that you're reminding me of. One is this line that I love from Angelus Arian, who says, action absorbs anxiety. When you're kind of in gear, at least you got some place for all that energy to be harnessed and do something with. And the other is, just as you're saying, about connection. I love this study that Mary Pfeiffer writes about in The Green Boat, which is a beautiful book about how all these studies, when you hold somebody's hand, your threshold for pain, emotional and actual physical pain, goes way higher, and you're sharing in the pain, and you have more capacity to find some balance and skillful response.
It's so, so true. You know, I think that everything, everywhere that they're suffering, has to do with us feeling separate and scared. And in the moments that we feel we're in this together, and I sometimes will just reflect on, and Joanna Macy has a lot of really wonderful exercises like mm-hmm. this, where you just remember all the people that are caring. And there's so much going on right now. It's like, on one level, there's, you know, it looks like, you know, the country, at least the United States, is just deconstructing on every possible level. And then in another way, I've never seen so much happening in terms of people consciously training their consciousness, their hearts and awareness to wake up. I've never seen this much going on. And, you can't take a flight on a plane and the person next to you, if it's not them, it's their cousin or their son who's doing meditation. And so it's happening. And there's an awakening, as you and I were talking earlier, of women, and women feeling the sense of women's empowerment to, okay, this is our time. Mm-hmm. This is our time to bring the sacred feminine up and out, because the world is... basically, the dis-ease of the world is the lack of the sacred feminine, the lack of that real loving and reverence towards life. And so yeah. The women running for office, the whole deal is, it's happening. So I think if we look in a bigger picture, there's a dialectic that the very narrowness and violence and sexism that's so on show, and racism in the biggest way, there's a response where there's a kind of waking up to some real commitment to manifesting something higher and better.
Mm, beautiful. Yeah, and again, you're reminding me of our friend Roger Walsh, who says we're in a race between fear and consciousness.
Yes.
And that pretty much sums it. Like, okay, what can I do to bring a little bit more consciousness into the world? And that ripples out too. And it is really exciting to see this consciousness explosion. Yeah. You know that that Arnold Toynbee prophecy, the great historian who says in the 20th century, he said he thought that perhaps the most significant development in the 20th century would be Buddhist principles, Buddhism coming to the West, and whether you call it Buddhism or understanding interconnectedness or that non-separation. It's kind of interesting to see this explosion of consciousness and seeing ourselves in a different perspective.
And the fact that it's happening simultaneously, that we're having this, you know, the primitive brain, the survival brain is acting out in a way that in my lifetime I've never seen, so ferocious, mm-hmm. you know, with sexism and racism and violence and greed. It's really like explosive. And I've also never borne witness to more integrated brain and heart mind trying to wake itself up in, you know, all the different forms that we're seeing, and it's all at the same time. So, yeah.
It is pretty amazing, yeah. Isn't it? Here we are. And you were telling me something before we got on this that was really intriguing to me. You said that you and Jonathan are bringing mindfulness to the Senate and to Washington D.C. Say a little bit about that. That sounds very encouraging for people. It was for me to hear.
Yeah, no, I'm thrilled. I didn't think it would be this easy. But yeah, we got contacted, you know, about a half a year ago to do a series of, I think it's 8 altogether, live classes for the Senate. Senate staff, the whole deal. And they live streamed it, not just on Capitol Hill, but they're live streaming it all around the country. And they're getting a good response. And along with the live teaching, they're also having access to a program Jack Kornfield and I did called Mindfulness Daily at Work. And it's cool because it's just 15 minutes a day, but it trains people for over 40 days to practice mindfulness. So that's also really popular. So it's, and I'm glad we're talking about it just because there really is something people are more available to this. I mean, it's in the culture and that's encouraging.
And
take our encouragement wherever we can.
Hey, out in thirsty for encouragement. And just remembering, our friend Chris Cullen in
oh my gosh,
England, yeah. Who's taught 130 members of parliament. I went there, Jane and I were there last summer. Just right after it was just after the Brexit vote, I guess a year ago. We taught, he has a mindfulness class, a weekly class with members of parliament that he said, hey, you come on and meet these people. And it was right after Brexit. They were still scrambling. It was like within that week. And I got there and the people who were there, I said, okay, this may be a little bit too California for you, but I want to know, what are you feeling right now?
What's going on?
It was very moving. You know, these are all people who've done some mindfulness practice, so it wasn't new for them to go inside and get in touch. But it was so moving how vulnerable, and they don't get a chance to share on that level too much, but their hearts were breaking. But then as they heard each other, there was the sense that they weren't alone, and people, I think, left feeling more in touch with their good hearts and with the possibilities. And the one thing that you reminded me of is they all of these members of parliament that he's been working with put out this beautiful initiative called Mindful Nation UK. Have you seen it?
I've heard about it. Yeah.
Oh, it's amazing where they're committed to bringing mindfulness to education and social justice and the workplace and health. So even people in power like you and sharing with the Senate and other legislators or the parliament, little by little, something is happening.
I think on every level, I mean, certainly business, there's been so much going on in almost every major corporation. We just now in conversation with IBM and here, and I did a thing at the Marriott. And, you know, like it's most businesses now in some way have like other possibilities for stress relief. They're looking at mindfulness. And so that's the encouragement. And I guess the main piece I keep coming back to is we have to keep talking about what's going on with each other, not think of it like it's separate from the spiritual path. There can be sometimes a sense of, well, there's my practice and then there's politics and society. And this earth body is our larger body, and what's going on to, you know, a person of color on the streets, you know, being targeted, our women being harassed is part of our body and our heart. And to not separate it and to be know that we're together holding hands and responding, it wakes us up and it wakes the world up.
Mm-hmm. Lovely. Well, let me ask, what I find really important and helpful is to somehow hold some positive vision or inspiring vision, whether or not it happens, just to kind of work towards it and give me a direction. And I just want to ask you what your most positive vision of the future might be. What keeps you going on those days that you say, oh gosh, is there any hope for humanity? How do you hold it as a possibility?
You know, I've seen close up, you know, and I'm looking, you know, and I'm thinking in the last 2 years of being with a small group of people, a multiracial group, and seeing how that group went from really not understanding what each other was living with to understanding and loving each other. And I feel like my hope and vision is that it doesn't matter where we start, whether we start with, you know, a conflict with a partner, or whether we start with a few people in our community where there's misunderstandings. But my hope is that we can wake up out of our own view and have a heart that can include and listen to and understand each other. And then that can widen out and widen out. So whether it's the Middle East that we're talking about, or the Muslims and the Buddhists in Myanmar, or wherever it is, that there can start to be a bridge where humans can sense our shared belonging and then go beyond humans and start realizing that the suffering we're causing to animals is not okay. That just the way we might have been blind to suffering we caused other humans 200 years ago, it's not okay to cause suffering to animals. So we keep widening and widening the sense of our shared belonging until there's really a heart that truly is living in reverence for life.
And do you see that as a real possibility?
Yes, because I see it already happening in some consciousnesses, and therefore it's possible in all. Mm-hmm. It's possible. When I think of hope, I don't think of hope as latching onto as an expectation. It's more of a sense of our potential. And I know if this very heart has the potential to love without holding back, that means all hearts have the potential. It's not like there's some difference. We all belong to the same energy that's waking up and loving. And so it's possible for all of us.
Mm-hmm. Lovely. Just to wrap up, one thing that occurs to me that's kind of spontaneously coming through, that if you'd be up to it, to maybe lead me and anyone listening in some kind of loving kindness meditation or meditation of connection that we can keep in mind, just a little guided process to get us in touch with the best in us.
Sure.
Would you be open to that?
Always.
I know you're so good at it.
I love playing in the field of the heart. So
I know you do. That's why I ask you.
So the invitation, and I'm going to join in, is to close our eyes. And in the stillness, let the awareness come into the body fully, so there's a sense of the aliveness that's right here. And to just tap into the flavor of love and tenderness, it can be helpful to smile into your eyes and let the outside corners of the eyes lift a little, the eyes soften. A slight smile at the mouth. Letting a smile spread through the heart. Not to cover over, but just to make space for what's here. Let the shoulders relax back and down some. And feel the hands tingling. And if you widen the lens, just to feel the whole body live with sensation. The heart smiling, letting the breath flow in and out of the heart. And sensing whatever in this moment in your heart's most asking for attention. If there's any twist or torquing of fear or sorrow, hurt, anger, anything that's being carried. To let it be included in the light of awareness. So there's a recognizing of what's here and letting a very tender flow of care and energy bathe whatever's here in your heart. It's like letting the love of your most awake being very tenderly suffuse your own heart with care. And if it helps to put your hand on your heart to deepen that sense, that you're just bringing tenderness and care to the life that's right here. And sensing in this heart space, perhaps, somebody that you know is suffering, is having a hard time. Letting yourself connect with what the difficulty is. Just imagining and sensing that same light and love bathing that being. You might even mentally whisper, I love you, saying the person's name. And then letting the heart space widen out edgelessly, boundlessly. So you sense the earth, our mother, in your lap and all beings in this heart space. Allowing whatever currents of suffering that are most obvious to you to be in your awareness, being held in this heart space. There may be particular expressions of suffering that come to mind. Sensing this vast ocean of heart holding that suffering. And feeling your heart and your prayer of your most awake being suffusing the suffering with care. Bathing with love. Sensing our shared prayer that all beings everywhere might be filled with loving kindness, be held in loving kindness, know their very essence as loving kindness. Our shared prayer, may there be peace on earth and peace everywhere. May all beings everywhere awaken and be free. Namaste and blessings.
Namaste. Thank you so much, Tara. Great hanging out with you.
And you. Yeah.
Be well. Keep on doing your good work.
Yeah, well, we're all truly, truly in it together, and it's liberating to know that. So many blessings.
Many blessings. Be well.